Israel has lost what it calls its war with Hamas, and American global prestige and authority are shot. Make no mistake, this genocide marks a profound inflection point in world history, and its ramifications for Australia and for the world are immense. Now, putting aside the terror in Rafah and the unimaginable suffering unleashed on the 2 million people of Gaza, just putting that aside for a moment, we put on our cold, hard hat of political expedience and take a Machiavellian realpolitik view of events. Global goodwill for Israel is gone. Can it ever be restored? Who knows? Anti-Semitism is on the rise, thanks to the government of Benjamin Netanyahu and its supporters and flatterers here in the West, the war lobby. It's not the student protesters, it's not the peace protesters, and it's not the muted, ignored, decent Jewish voices for peace. We predicted precisely this here last November, just a few weeks after the offensive had kicked off, the IDF offensive, and the propaganda war had begun in full swing with 40 babies beheaded and mass rapes. Of more consequence for Australia, America has lost its authority in world affairs. This directly in the wake of the ludicrous AUKUS pact and the promised $368 billion transfer of wealth from ordinary Australians to the US and Great Britain. What a hospital pass this was, right at the eve of genocide. The US has bankrolled and lent moral and political support to this genocide, whose effects will be felt for generations. In just 8 months, US leadership is shot, with enormous implications for the rise of China and a powerful weapons sector bent on war, now including ex-PM ScoMo, of course. He's in that lobby group now, people lobbying for another world war. Globally, an entire generation of people under 30 has lost trust in the media and the institutions of power. The media has literally missed the story of this century. The fall of America, the end of Zionism, probably as a project. They've missed this epic story. It is an epic fail. Cowed and bullied into not properly doing their jobs. Sucked into towing the Israel war lobby propaganda. Regurgitating it at every single turn. Burying the bad headlines. Exalting the distractions. The latest being Laura Tingle and her racism comment. The university protests, as if these somehow can be compared to the atrocities in Gaza. It's not the journalists. They can claim a Nuremberg defense. It is the compromised and craven leadership, the corporate executives on their gravy train, desperate to appease powerful lobby groups to protect their turf, to protect their careers over human life. This did not have to happen. They have supported the regime of Benjamin Netanyahu. It won't come back. The media, the fossil media, as we like to call them, just look at the stock prices. And we are now at war with the Houthis in Yemen, a bunch of guys in sandals picking off commercial ships in the Red Sea with their drones. We don't call it a war, we call it a military operation. The Allies, which includes Australia, are bombing Yemen while we helplessly lose to primitive people opposing genocide, rightly opposing genocide. We have no moral authority in this. But not only that, we're losing, and the Allies have gone cap in hand through proxies begging the Houthis to stop. It's an historic humiliation, and again, historically ignored by the media. Why are we spending $368 billion on nuclear submarines when the Houthis have held up world shipping and have yet to be defeated with cheap drone technology? Even on a hard-headed pro-Israel view of the world, the Allies have lost. You need authority and goodwill to govern. They've been conned by the bloodthirsty extremist regime of a desperate man, Netanyahu, facing corruption charges, beholden to even more extreme people in his government, Smotrich, Ben-Gvir, and so forth. His cronies in a foundering racist government, justifying their actions with extremely dubious ideology. They themselves are besieged by record protests in Tel Aviv by Israelis, and even if they eradicate every single Hamas militant and return every remaining hostage alive, which they claim is their raison d'etre, they have lost. It has gone too far. World goodwill has vanished. This so-called global rules-based order, which we trot out sometimes, our politicians, our very foreign policy, in fact, is decimated in the wake of Israel and the AUKUS partners' war crimes. The ICC rejected, labelled anti-Semitic. The ICJ orders rejected. They too labelled anti-Semitic. The UN supposedly anti-Semitic. Anybody who opposes this slaughter, who opposes the policies of the government of Israel, is dubbed anti-Semitic. The paradox, of course, given World War II, is breathtaking. The stories yet to emerge of starvation and torture, of rape and murder, of amputations without anaesthetics for children, because settlers have blocked access to aid in Gaza, unimpeded by police or the IDF, just let to execute this genocide, these will endure for generations. Whether Gaza is somehow rebuilt for its people or whether the plan is just to make it so horrific the Gazans will just want to leave and go somewhere else, another Nakba, how could that possibly be called a victory in this day and age when everybody knows what's going on? Now that the world knows, it cannot be covered up. The memory of the Holocaust, the German Holocaust of the Jews in World War II, that is exploited and shattered. What are the implications for the millions of decent Jewish people of the diaspora? Anti-Semitism, self-hating Jews? What are the 1,000 Australian Israelis, the young soldiers, indoctrinated, brainwashed, dehumanized, packed off to fight this so-called war, the chosen people, Greater Israel, to fight for this government of Benjamin Netanyahu, these extremists? What of them? What is their legal position? What are the other tens of thousands shamed and psychologically disturbed after this conflict returning to their countries? Once there were the Camp David Accords. Once peace almost happened. Once there were the Oslo Accords, which came agonizingly close to peace deals in the Middle East. Peace talks are no more. They don't have summits anymore. They don't have the authority. They've just got this rogue government in Israel. Now it's just America and its partners in the EU and AUKUS sending weapons to a maniacal regime, and they have been found out. What of the Zionist project itself, the political and commercial caper based on victimhood and coercion upon threat of any target or adversary being dubbed anti-Semitic? Will they still enjoy a transfer of public wealth, charity status, given their agents for this foreign regime? What of their political power now? The pity party rolls on, however, still rolls on in the mainstream media. And clashes on the US campuses where there has been violence have overwhelmingly targeted peace protesters, not the war lobbyists. This is the biggest awakening since the Vietnam War. It has aroused a political engagement by millions of people, mostly young people, not seen in 50 years. And yet still, the mainstream media resolutely sealing its own fate, buries the real story and rails against peaceful protesters, decries anti-genocide activists as Hamas terrorist sympathizers, advocates the suffocation of free speech and freedom of assembly, the very principles upon which our democracy is struck. It would seem that either we are in for the rise of authoritarian democracy governments in the West, or the so-called global rules-based order is on its last legs. The latest horrendous news out of Rafah. Children in tents burnt alive. A beheaded child. Refugees. Innocent people murdered in cowardice and hate from the skies. This has been met with the same Israeli response as ever. First denial. It was precision bombing, said Netanyahu. It was Hamas. We were going after Hamas. And then he does a 180, as he always does. He recanted with, "We made a mistake. There will be an inquiry." There have been many promises of inquiries. This really just confirms what the world already knows. It compounds 8 months of daily lies and manipulation, propaganda. The evidence is in plain sight. It's maths. It's videos. It's the testimony of highly credible people in the medical profession, in diplomacy, all those not linked, whose careers are not dependent on the apparatus of power. For political elites in the AUKUS nations, it makes no difference to the outcome of the genocide. Like the Gadarene swine possessed by the Zionist demons charging down the hill into the sea, drowning they are. This so-called war against terror cannot be won, even with every Hamas fighter exterminated, even with Gaza recolonized into high-end seaside property, even with Greater Israel, it is too late. To quote Darkholm, the power of an idea, and Hamas is now an idea as much as a few people with guns, is never to be underestimated. Many a thought has survived long after its host has ceased to be. It is the power of an idea that no shield can defend against, nor sword divide, nor poison infect. And our greatest ally, the land of the free, which can't even protect its own school children from serial gun deaths, can't even prosecute high-end pedophile rings such as that of Jeffrey Epstein, can't even investigate it properly. The pedophiles have won. And now we face the prospect of a failed, dilapidated genocide Joe Biden up against a reckless con man, narcissist, and Donald Trump. Neck and neck in the polls they are. What a bleak outlook that is. Americans denied health care while billions are sent to Israel to prosecute this genocide. US authority and goodwill have been washed away like the Gaza pier. And what will young people do when they are put upon to go and fight the next war for some corrupt old politicians doing their donors' bidding? How does Australia sign up the next generation of soldiers, the 20-somethings? How does it make the case for a just war? How does it encourage people to yomp off to fight the Chinese to save Taiwan, not our war? But of course, we are the world busybodies. How do they do that when they are protecting the generals from war crime prosecutions, instead prosecuting and jailing the whistleblower David McBride? How do they do it when they're supporting a genocide with weapons parts and pine gap surveillance and political and diplomatic cover, refusing to expel the Israeli ambassador? How do they do it when the two major parties are more or less on the same page? Yes, Dutton is worse than Albo, but more or less they are on the same page. They are captured. How do they do this? How do they get people into the army when they failed in Iraq, and veterans, those scarred by these useless wars? How do they do it when they call their genocide partners friends, our friend Israel? Are we talking about mercenary wars in future? It would appear so. The last resort and the pro-war lobbying has been driving this dehumanization of those who oppose them. And so it is that we can expect a further rise in Islamophobia. They have been pushing that for months now, the Israel lobby, the genocide lobby, pushing hate and blame on Muslims, pushing their own epic failure with the help of the Murdoch media and other craven media outlets, pushing their epic failure onto Muslims and peace protesters and ordinary people who just don't like genocide and unnecessary death of thousands of people. That too, the Islamophobia card would appear to have been played. You can claim victimhood. You can't claim victimhood when you are executing a genocide. Thanks for your support here. We were smashed the first time we waded into this by complaints, and we lost a lot of audience on YouTube as a result, as happened to many people who've opposed this. There's personal cost in this for everybody, even those who prosecute the war. Thanks for your support. Like, share, or comment in the space.